Hello, Coffee's Me listeners and watchers, because now we are also on YouTube. Today I have a special episode with Mariana from Tueste Coffee from Mexico. Hey, Mariana, how are you?
Hi, Valerian. I'm doing well, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's a very nice day here in California. It's not too sunny, not too cloudy, so it's a perfect day for recording a podcast with you. Mariana, before we dive into your coffee company, I usually have this warm-up question about your first sip of coffee. Do you remember your first sip of coffee?
When I was little and hanging with my grandparents' house, my grandma always welcomed me and my brother and sister and all my cousins with some hot coffee with milk and sugar. We were kids. And it was pretty fun. We were just hanging out with each other, and I think that's it.
Okay. So how old were you?
6 years old, maybe. Yeah, we've been into coffee industry like forever, so my family is pretty attached to it. So I was
So sometimes when I say people that I had my first sip of coffee as a high schooler, people are like, oh, that young, and then you guys are starting at six.
Yeah, I was pretty young.
Did you like it?
Very much, yeah. With a lot of milk and a lot of sugar, it was like kids, we drink it like that. I really liked it. I liked the flavor and since forever.
Help us understand the Mexican specialty coffee scene when it comes to roasteries and cafes. We do know that Mexico grows coffee, obviously, but I think that I know very little about the Mexican specialty coffee scene. So how does it look like? Are there specialty roasters, cafes? Tell us more.
Yeah, specialty coffee is growing within the past few years. Before, we grew coffee, just like a lot of volume, but quality was not that great. But in the past, I believe 10 years maybe, specialty coffee is growing. We have less volume, which is sad, but we are focusing on quality. We've been innovating with the process also, washed honey, naturals, and this fermentation area, all that kind of crazy things. But the results have been great. We have had some pretty good coffees. Also, we've been participating as Mexicans in Cup of Excellence. And in the past few years, we've been like getting better in it. Better scores, better coffees, and a lot of different coffees. As well as maybe in Mexico City, the boom of specialty coffee shops, as well as roasteries. And Mexico is pretty big. It's a huge country. So wherever you go, everything's different. But Mexico City is like the reference of it. And maybe each week, a new specialty coffee shop is opening. So the area of the opportunity is huge.
What do they offer? So how does a specialty coffee store in, let's say, Mexico City look like? If you come to the United States or Europe, most likely will find different origins. Is that also true in Mexico, or do Mexican specialty stores focusing purely on the Mexican coffees?
Most of them, maybe 90% of specialty coffee shops are focused on Mexican coffee of different regions like Veracruz, Chiapas, Oaxaca, Puebla. We have different regions in Mexico. And most of those coffee shops focus on those. There are a few ones that offer like Ethiopian or Colombian coffees or another origin coffee, but mostly Mexican.
I love it. That's great. You are basically becoming a France of coffee, but in France, they grow the grapes and the French are super proud of their own products. So mostly you can buy French wines in France, but obviously you can buy other origins, but they are very proud. So I love that story that the Mexican specialty roasters are focusing on their own origin. That's really cool. How do the consumers like this? Do they appreciate the new style of coffee, or do they cry back the cheap coffee?
We have both scenarios. But yeah, people are spending a little bit more on these specialty coffees. They are open to experience new things. They are open to learn. Of course, we have the mostly oldest people, mostly them, that they are not open to change or something like that. They are still buying from supermarkets, old roasted coffee. But like young people, they are spending a little bit more and they are open to it and they are studying it also. after COVID. A lot of foreign people came to live to Mexico City mostly, but this is also helping to consume better coffee. They are asking for better coffees. So it's been quite a challenge.
That sounds fun. And I did a little boo when you were talking about special processes. I'm becoming famous troll of that because I appreciate the classical processes a lot. And I guess now I'm becoming the old person. It's like, hey, this is innovation. I'm like, I don't want that. I want my classical coffee. Going back to Mexico, and now you guys are one of the specialty coffee roasters, and you guys also have a coffee shop and you plan to expand into Mexico City too. But you have an amazing story as a company. So tell us, how did you guys start it and how did you transfer to be a specialty roaster where you and your sister, two women, are the face of the company?
Yeah, it's quite of a story. Actually, it started from my great-grandfather. He started building coffee machines for farmers. Then my grandfather continued to do that, and then my dad also. So my dad still has his company. He makes big machines, roasters, but also machines for the wet and dry mill. And we have also he has some machines coming from Colombia, like Penagos, or from Brazil, the Centrifuge, and different machines for these specific areas, like the wet mill and dry mill, and now roasters. And my sister and I, we started into the coffee industry in 2020. And we started with a coffee school. We wanted to enter professionally into the coffee industry, but we didn't know how to or what was the thing that we love about coffee. We wanted to learn a little bit more because, in fact, we did know nothing about coffee. We just drank it without knowing anything. So we started searching somewhere to learn about drinking coffee, about everything, anything we could learn. But the only thing that we found, it was in a classroom, four walls, through a TV, and maybe some classes in coffee shops. But we wanted a little bit more. We wanted to go further. We, in Mexico, we grow coffee. Origin, we are from Coatepec, which is a small town in Veracruz, which is one of the, I believe is the second or third biggest region which grows coffee. So we wanted a little bit more of that contact with the coffee, with the plants. So we came back. I was living in Mexico City, my sister too. So we came back to Coatepec and we started a coffee school where we had a small wet mill where we can process our own micro lots just for fun. And we started giving some classes. The first one, it was the Q Processing 2 with one of our friends, which is also from Coatepec, Mario Fernandez, a big figure in coffee. And that's how we started. We started learning and teaching. COVID came, so we closed for several months. But after that, we continued. We continued with the classes and we've known a great people. All of our students are super nice. They are big. They are owners of coffee shops, or they are roasters, or they are baristas, or they just love to drink coffee. And so it's super fun. I believe you know that too, with the school. And then we opened a coffee shop also in Coatepec. It brings us together also with our local friends. And it's like a showroom because we sell all of these machines my dad makes, and also some machines like the grinders from Hemro, the Malkunig or Dieting, and all this stuff. So it's quite a showroom. It helps us also to keep learning about the people we work with. We keep learning and teaching each other. And yeah, it's been a great path of growing. We have a lot of plans. We love what we do. Me personally, and also with the team. It's a family business. So my dad is still involved in the business. My sister too, not my mom too. So it's fun.
I like a lot the fact that you integrated a lot of parts and a cogwheel you build on it all the way to the top. You and your sister, you guys came to a class at Boot Coffee. If I remember correctly, I was your trainer. Is that correct?
That is pretty correct.
So as a professional trainer, how would you rate my class?
I loved it. I actually, one of our main goals, it was like to know other schools because we just started our own, but we didn't know any other. So it was like the first approachment to how can we be the students in another school. So it was a great experience. We learned a lot. We approved the class. And also I love to roast also in another roasters because I'm used to roasting our own roasters or prepare coffee in our own machine. So it's pretty helpful to know what other people is doing, what we can apport to it and how we can learn from them too. So yeah, I would like the experience a lot.
I remember I was very intimidated because when I learned that you guys are trainers, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have now somebody who is professional in this field coming. Of course. Yeah, I was only teaching for 2 years. I mean, in industry for 20, but really teaching only for 2 years. I do love it, but also I'm shy. Anytime I have some professional trainers, I'm nervous. Yeah, I want to do a good job and I want you two guys to be happy with the course.
Yeah, that's true. We also get nervous when one student like notes a lot or something comes to our school or also in the coffee shop, like some recognized barista or something comes to the coffee shop. It's quite scary. But no, our experience with you, it was great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the kind words. I give you a tip. So how I approach this is you came to my class. I have certain knowledge I can give you. And I just hope that I enrich your knowledge, which already is existing and you're doing it for a long time, right? If I can't, I was not the right trainer for you. It never really happened that somebody told me I never learned anything from you. And I did have like people like you in a class who are like seasoned professionals. And yeah, people always learn something. And what's the best? I also learn something from them a lot. So that's like a two-way street. So that's why I love training because it's, first of all, I can look important for a few hours a day.
Yes. That's a great feeling. But, right?
Yeah. And then you get a lot of great people, as you said, and just a great chat with coffee. So it's amazing. To being paid for this is, yes.
Yeah. We love doing it. So why not make a business about it?
Yeah, exactly. And your sister are amazing when it comes to roasting. You came to the class and I was like, why do you need class? Now I know. You told me that you wanted to learn more about how other classes work. So basically spying on us.
No, we don't. We're just learning from you.
No, I'm kidding. I'm messing with you. How is it as two women entering a coffee industry, which is very male dominated? It's still true today. And I think in Mexico, it's even more male dominated. So how do you guys deal with this as women?
It hasn't been that easy, but also not that hard. We have a small farm in the coffee school. We don't know much about it. And most of our teachers are men because most farmers are men or even in this region. So it's been quite hard. But when it comes to coffee shops or roasters, we've come across a lot of women too. And we make a big, this community. So it's super nice because we support each other. And you said it, like the coffee is mostly a men's world. Women in coffee, the community is growing. So it's pretty, pretty nice to be a part of it. And as I said, we are helping each other. And we are supporting each other. And once we have, for example, this friend of mine who is opening a coffee shop and she's mostly searching for women in coffee. Like, you sell coffee, I want to buy it from you. You sell roasters, I want to buy it from you. So we are like this community growing. And it's nice to see how women are like growing professionally into this world. But yeah, we have a long way to go to achieve this. But it's nice to be a part of it and to help these women to go further.
Aren't the farmers intimidated when they have to take a course from you guys, like the women, when you are the trainer?
We teach some classes, but not all of them. But yeah, we have had some classes about processing or the farm. The teacher is a man, so it's not that hard for them. But once me or my sister or some other in the team that are female are the assistant of the class, and they don't see through our eyes, they don't see us directly. They talk to the teacher. Yeah, it's hard, this part of interaction. We also work with some farmers because we buy the cherry from them because we process it in their school. And to talk to the farmer and to see us quite young, I'm 30, but they see us and they are kind of maybe 6 or 7 years old. And they look at us and they see us like girls and young. And it's like, they don't like it that much. Yeah.
I'm really sorry to hear that. I can feel you a little bit. Of course, I'm a man, but remember when I used to work for the UN as a very young professional, I was 25 years old. And people did not take me seriously. Like, they were just like ignoring. And I worked in an area which was very much about macho culture and age. That was the attribute of somebody who had the authority. So me as a young kid, I was not taking seriously. So I'm sorry to hear that, but I hope it will change. And I think the specialty coffee industry works very hard on this to change that. And you guys are prime example of achieving something despite of these hurdles. You guys are doing great. We always mention your sister. Her name is Patricia, by the way, just to tell to the listeners. So what are you guys doing in the company right now? What's your role? I know that you roast and I guess you cup. And how about Patricia?
She's in the marketing area as well. She loves cupping. She's great at it. And she's also a barista. She's learning to it. So she has some roles also in the coffee shop. But mostly her main activity here is talking with the clients, like sales and marketing. She's responsible of all of the marketing campaigns, emails, and all of that sales strategy.
Oh, nice. I follow your social media. They're always very cool. Yeah, good job.
I'll let her know.
I did sum up your job correctly, or do you do something else too?
I roast the coffee for the coffee shop and the online store. And I'm mainly in the administration area. And I talk with the suppliers too.
Awesome.
That's my job.
When we talk about your roasting and your coffee, you never refer to green coffee, you refer to coffee cherries. And I know why. Can you tell the listeners that how you guys buy coffee for your roastery? That's pretty cool.
We have the small farm, which is not that big regarding the amount of coffee, the green coffee we need. We work with some farmers here in the region who doesn't have the wet mill. Mainly in this region, the farmers grow their coffee, but they sell the cherries, the fruit. So we buy the cherry from them and take it to the coffee school where we have the wet mill. It's the like a processing. Yeah, we process micro lots. We have all of the equipment with my dad's experience and the company. Yeah, we have some Penagos, Centriflux, and his company is called Promor, which does all of these machines, like the drying machines, and all of the mill. He designed the mill. So over there, we do all of these crazy processes you don't love. And we also enjoy our traditional washed coffee, but I'm thrilled to always try something new. So over there, we do all of the washed honey's naturals process with different stages of drying. Like some of our coffees, like for 10 days, other for 15 days, or we do the experiments over there. And once we have the green coffee, we have also over there the dry mill. And once we have the green coffee, we sell this to roasteries in here, or we export some to other countries. And also we use it for our own business, like the coffee shop and the online store.
That's amazing. So you have a kind of a full control of a process, and you can decide what kind of processes you guys do. based on your experience and also some experimentation. That's pretty awesome. That's very unique, I think. You also mentioned that you guys do green coffee. You sell it to small roasters, or do you sell it also for home roasters? Who can buy coffee from you?
Well, mostly, like everyone, we sell this like to small roasters, small to big roasters, but we have some clients that have the just for fun or want to try some, so we can sell like 1 kilo of green coffee. It's not like our main business that, but if one client wants it, we can sell it.
Let's make sure that on you leave me your contacts, because I know many people listening to this right now, they're like, oh, I want to try that coffee. I want to eat as a small roaster or as a home roaster. So let's make sure that we give them contact for you. And if they want, they can contact you and maybe you can send them the portfolio you guys have.
Of course, yes. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that's a promotion for you. I'm going to charge you. Though. No, I'm kidding.
I'm sure. After all, right?
Yeah, I'm grateful that you are on a podcast. Thank you so much. Let's talk a little bit about roasting, because a lot of listeners are interested in that. I assume that you guys are roasting on your dad's roaster. What is it and how does it work? Because I never heard any production coming out of Mexico, coffee roasters production.
The brand's called Promo. I roast in this 10 kilo machine. It's like the traditional drum roaster. It's pretty nice. Actually, we are thinking about just roast now in 25 kilos, because we are roasting a lot lately. We have the connection in this roaster to Cropster, so we roast with it too. It's a great tool for us. And we sell the roasters mainly in Mexico, but throughout the years, my dad had sold some of them to other countries. In the United States, I don't remember where. Last year, we sold one to Houston, I think. But I don't know where other. There's one or two in Hawaii. And I don't know all of the countries that... But in the United States, I think Houston, Hawaii, and I don't remember which other.
Oh, cool. So there are promos all over the world.
Yes, we can find promos all over the world. Yeah.
That's amazing. Again, integrating everything what you guys do into the same business, that's super fun.
We have filled my dad because we became clients of him. We have a roaster and we as roasters, so that maybe you need a light in here or maybe you need to control over here. And so my dad has been doing these changes and it's been working quite well.
Oh, that's amazing. So did he give you a discount on the machine?
Of course. It was a gift from him.
It's not really a gift because you guys are giving him a very valuable feedback. So maybe you should.
That's true.
I try to understand the Mexican market, and maybe there are some things which work in Mexico and American or European roasters do not look at them or did not think of them as an idea to how to promote their company. So what are your sales strategies right now? Meaning, where do you sell your coffee mostly? And also, how do you identify your target audience?
We use a lot of social media that help us a lot. Instagram mainly. Also emails, but mostly Instagram. It helps us a lot with the online store. And Google. That also shows that people can find us easier. And it depends our target, as you said. If they're looking for the coffee shop, Google Maps. We are like on the first three options, like where to go to coffee shops, specialty coffee shops in Coatepec or Veracruz. And Instagram, it helps us with the coffee school, the classes. We get all of our students from there. And the sales in the online store, also they go through Instagram. Where to buy us, and they click a lot. And yeah, my sister is the one in charge of that part. Now she's into TikTok too, but Instagram has worked a lot.
Yeah, I tried TikTok and I don't know. I became more of a consumer than a creator, which is not a good idea, right? Because I'm wasting my time on it. I blame my daughter. She put me on it, so...
I blame my sister. I'm also on TikTok now, but I'm not that into it. Maybe She's younger than me, so she likes a lot TikTok as a creator and also as a consumer.
Yeah, in the beginning, TikTok is pretty boring, so I actually deleted it a few times in the past. But then my daughter said, let me help you. So she said, tell me what you like. And I said, what I like biking, I like food, I like coffee. So she just followed a few people. And then suddenly the algorithm changed and I was like, oh, okay. And I'm getting science videos, which I like. So it can cater pretty well to your psychology and then you're spending all your time on it. And my idea was to learn how to create TikToks in the future so I can reach out there. By the way, this podcast, a tidbit of podcast, will be on TikTok because I have also an account for this podcast.
Okay.
And it's cool. It's okay. But it's not the same what the young generation does. They are so, like my daughter has, I don't know, 10,000, 15,000 followers. I cannot even imagine about that. And she knows how to talk
how
TikTok
old is your daughter?
She is going to be 16 next Monday.
Okay.
So she's 15. She's still my baby. Honestly, she's always going to be my baby because I told her that she can be 90 years old if I was still alive, which is unlikely. But let's say I am, she's still going to be my baby. No way around that.
But she's a baby.
Right now, yeah, I think so. But don't tell her. Although I learned that some of her friends are listening to this podcast. Do not ask me why.
Because it's interesting.
Maybe for somebody who started a coffee company, but for a 15-year-old person, I'm not really sure about that. Anyway, so let's talk about your customers. Do you know who is your typical customer for your coffee?
Yeah, young workers. Yeah, like from 20 years to 50 years, it's like this age gap also. And yeah, I think that's like our market.
Where do you find these people? Where do you sell your coffee? You mentioned your web store, right? And where else?
Mostly in our coffee shop and online. And also we sell this green coffee to the roasters. They also roast our coffee and they tag us or they say like from Tueste Cafe. But yeah, there are a lot of places in Mexico.
So you don't do any grocery stores or other cafes?
Other cafes, yes. Like 3 coffees in Mexico City. But grocery stores, no. At all. Not at all. Other stores, no. And other coffee shops also that are roasters. So you can find our roasted coffee, but roasted by them.
I see. If I would start a company tomorrow in Mexico, that's a roasting company, and you are my trainer, what would be your tip? Where shall I start to sell my coffee?
To small coffee shops who are not roasting their coffee yet, which are a lot in Mexico, and as well as restaurants. It's very sad that you go to restaurants or hotels and the coffee they serve, it's very bad or low quality. So we are also focusing on those markets like restaurants, hotels, to sell them good coffee. So that would be like my advice. And they consume a lot of coffee, but they are not willing to pay that much. So it's our job as a coffee community to teach them and to sell them this better coffee. It doesn't have to be that expensive, but good coffee.
You said that you're already selling to restaurants and hotels, correct?
Hotels, 0. Restaurants, just like 2. So it's a big opportunity over there because they're not willing to this change because if more expensive than the coffee they are buying, but also the quality is different.
How did you convince them to buy your coffee?
Throughout some cuppings, and we also bring this, we sell this small roaster, which is like from 60 grams until 120 grams. So we bring this little roaster to their office or the restaurant. We roast some coffee there, then we do some tastings in V60s or Chemex or other machines. And we talked about the coffee until they convinced themselves that they need good coffee. But it's been hard to get through that that area.
Well, I'm asking this because we have a recurring topic here about restaurants. Often you go to a restaurant and they pay a lot of attention to where they source their food from. They pay a lot of attention to their wine list. So they have these amazing wines, amazing food, preparation techniques. And then coffee is always an afterthought. And it's true for so many amazing restaurants. I actually stopped ordering coffee in restaurants. I just stopped. It doesn't make sense. It's always awful. As you said, it's a big opportunity, 100%. But anytime I talk to people like you, it's like how to do it, how to convince them. Because actually, when I had company in the United States called Unleashed Coffee, we did it. I grabbed a person from a restaurant industry and I said, look, I don't want to sell you coffee anymore. I just want to understand how this works. Can you come and consult us? And we can pay you. Just I want to understand why the restaurants are not buying coffee from us. And he said, you don't have to pay me. I'm happy to just grab a coffee with you and explain you. I was like, excellent. So when we talked to him, he said that in a restaurant industry of his level, which was like fancier diners, not higher class restaurants, but kind of a nicer diners, he said that how they make coffee is not the chef, not the sous chef. It's the people who are washing the dishes are making the coffee. So he said that they do not have a person to train to make coffee because that's for a restaurant, that's not profitable. It's a very low ticket item. It's like a $250, $350 for a cup of coffee. So for them, it's not really worth doing the whole, have a barista and stuff on a staff. Meanwhile, with cocktails or wine, it's a different story. Right? So I was like, okay, so how can we get in with our coffee? He personally did not mind the price of our coffee, which was wholesale, was not very expensive. It's a specialty, like a lower specialty. He said, I don't mind the price. I just need to brew it easily. Can you pack it in something like this? And he showed me, that was the first time I was in the industry for 20 years, and people will laugh because I never seen such a thing, a kind of like a pad, like a tea bag of ground coffee, like a circular. And that's what you put in a brewer, like a bun or something like that, and you press a button and that's it. So that's why dishwashers can make it, because you don't have to wait, you don't have to do anything, you just put one of those pads, press the button, and a coffee will appear. And I was like, this is awful. This is imagining that instead of nice beef, you will start to sell a roadkill on your menu. And they are like, yeah, but coffee is just coffee.
It's sad. Sad to hear that. But it's the truth. It's the truth in restaurants.
But we have to change it because it's not true when it comes to the customer experience. Like I stopped ordering coffee because it's awful. I think there's many customers in restaurants who would love to have a better coffee.
A lot of them, yeah. It's our job to train them or to let them know this.
I have a solution for this right now in my head. I'll share with you. It's the first time I'm talking about it on a podcast. After this story, what he told me, and after the experience what you have and we had when it comes to the restaurants, I think the main issue here is to create an easy way for them to make our coffee. So that's what they want. They want to have something where you press a button and you're going to have a coffee. Within specialty world, it's hard, but there is a solution for it. It's called XBloom. Have you ever seen a machine called XBloom?
No, I don't know that machine.
So check it out. They're our friends, Paul Ellert. We have one in our lab at Boot Coffee. And XBloom is a pretty cool concept. It basically emulates a manual brewing, right? So it's a machine which will grind the coffee. You buy the coffee in capsules, okay? So buy a capsule. But the capsule has whole bean coffee in it. So it's not not Nespresso or something like that. It's a whole bean coffee in it. That capsule or a cartridge, whatever you call that, has a little chip on the bottom. It's a kind of sticker. So you scan that sticker on the machine. And that's the recipe how to make the coffee. The recipe is designed by you, the roaster. Okay, you can design your recipe for your customers. So imagine that selling these capsules to the restaurant, they basically scan it, then put the coffee into the machine, the recipe is already loaded, then that capsule becomes a filter for it, and will brew it automatically. So they don't have to do anything except scan it and brew it. And you can guys check it out. It's called Eggs Bloom. Google it and you will see it. And I think that that's a very simple way how to create even a similar menu in your restaurant, like you have a wine. Like create a wine menu, but coffee. And you can have coffee for, I don't know, $4, but you can also have coffee for $20 if it's some nice Geisha award-winning coffees. So it has a lot of potential. My only drawback of this machine right now for me, from practical reasons, would be that it's made for home. So it has a container of water for home. So you have to always refill it, which is a little bit annoying. But if you have three machines in a nice restaurant, you can have a very interesting menu. And even your dishwasher or even your server can just make that coffee without even thinking, because the recipe is designed by the roaster.
Yeah. So the coffee will always turn out well.
Yeah, exactly. So in the mornings when I get to the office and there's no class, it's only me alone. Oh,
start crying.
I would usually just do myself an Eggs Bloom. It's easy. I can answer emails while it's doing the stuff. It does a very good job. I think I can do a better job, but I think it's still doing a good job.
For a restaurant, thinking about a restaurant?
Yeah.
Super easy.
Yeah, so next time you come, I'll definitely showcase that machine to you. I think that's a very interesting concept.
It's very interesting. I will Google it after this.
So if the restaurants are not lying to us, and really the issue is that, hey, I don't have anyone who can prepare this, this is a very good way to fix that.
It's a good solution, yeah.
Yeah. I can also, because they make a cup of coffee, but I can imagine that you put it in a small server, and people can even share in tiny cups that coffee. There's a lot of great options with that.
A lot of ways to do it.
Yeah. So I hope that Eggs Bloom will come up with more commercial machines, which you can hook up on a mains, so you don't have to always fill it up with water or something similar. So it's easier to work with. But they designed it for home. They did not design it for restaurants. But when I saw it, I was like, this would be excellent solution for restaurants.
Yeah, for restaurants. Yeah. They should start doing like for bigger volume then. But as a starter, it's good.
Yeah,
sounds good. Thank you for the tip. I will check it out. Is it from California, this machine, or?
It's a Chinese design, actually. It's not a Temu or AliExpress design. This is a very serious machine. They did not even launch it in China, as far as I know. The main market is Western markets and highly specialty coffees. Although I think that in China, the specialty culture is booming. I don't know why they didn't start it there. Allegedly, they have investment from the same people who invested in TikTok. So they are safe. Allegedly. This is information I cannot confirm or deny. I just heard it somewhere and I don't know if it's true, but yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Okay. I also asked my friend ChatGPT if he can help me with questions. And one question came up, I was like, this is an interesting question I should ask you. And the question was, does Mexican culture, art, or traditions influence your roast profiles or your selection of portfolio? Obviously, it does because you're selecting Mexican coffees, but is there any other part of Mexican culture which influences how you roast or how you select your coffees?
I think so. Not just like roasted coffee, but also when we are processing the coffee, we are taking how did the people in the region did it before. So it influenced what we do now, what it was made before. And for roasted, also, I think it depends on the client who's buying from us. Like some people like it more light roasted or more medium roasted. So also in the characteristics of the coffee, we try to have different flavors in it. So the washed, we are putting in the notes like more sugar, cane, or most nuts. And for the natural, we are searching for some fruity notes. And people are accepting those coffees. And it depends also if we are selling it to big coffee shops or to the final client. What we try to do is to have different coffees to reach the preferences of different clients.
Do I understand correctly that you roast the same coffee to different roast degrees depending on customers' preferences?
We do always medium roasted to all of the coffees. We sell online in the coffee shop, but we have some clients that write us like personally and said, I like my coffee a little bit more roasted or less roasted, and they are buying like 5 kilos. We can do that. Mm-hmm. So we customize their order.
Well, that's very cool that you are a chef of the coffee. That's amazing.
Because we have a small roaster, so we can do that crazy profiles for each client. But we don't have that much clients that ask for different profiles. But once we do, we can have these results.
I love the fact that you just go and say, I can do anything I want, because you are a confident coffee roaster. So many times, you know, what I learned myself too, because in the beginning when I started in a coffee industry, especially when I got into the specialty coffee, we always roasted light. And that's my personal preference. That's okay. But as a roaster, I never venture out of the light roast because that's what I was doing. But I think as a roaster, you should know how to roast the whole scale of those coffees very well. How to do a good medium roast, how to do a good dark roast. And if you come to the course with me, I always try to emphasize that. Taking my personal preference out. And as you said, if a customer comes and says, hey, I want to buy coffee and I want the best dark roast, can you help me as a coffee chef, as a roaster? I should be able to pull it off, right?
Yes, it's a challenge because you have to roast it well and the client needs to appreciate it. But if it's a bad roast, it's dangerous to sell that roasted coffee.
Yeah, unlike many roasters out there, you are pretty confident that you can do any roast degree in the right way so the customers are happy. And that's great.
You should be open to other things.
Yeah. Taking your personal preference away, I think, and even if you decide that in your life you're going to roast in light roast, I still think as a roaster, you should know exactly why your light roast is the only thing you want to do. So you should have a great way to roast medium, great way to roast dark. Analyze them and then make your decision. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, always our suggestion is like to, this coffee goes great with medium roast, and all of our roasted are medium roast. But if the client wants another thing, why not?
You also have the benefit of understanding the complete process from cherry to your green coffee because you guys are doing that. So that's really cool.
Yes. You're more than welcome to come and visit.
Oh,
whenever you want.
It's in a pipeline. I'm already like talking to my wife. I've never been in Mexico. It's so weird. It's just here, not far away.
Yes. In a way, like 4 hours or something.
The thing is that when we have holidays, I usually go visit my family in Europe and then all my free days are gone. And then we usually do one more kind of a shorter trip with my family, but we vote where we go. Last year, I was like, yeah, we're going to visit you guys, or I had one, I said, you. Or I have also a friend's home coffee in Canada. And I was like, let's visit them. You can pick either of them. But I've preferred you because it's February. I wanted to get a little bit warmer than colder. And then my family is not going to New York. I was like, New York in February? You guys are crazy. So yeah, we went to New York, which was okay. It's just February in New York is no good for me. I like warmer climates now.
Warmer climate, yeah. February here, it's also not that hot, but it's good. It's nice, like 20 degrees or something.
Oh, that's amazing. Celsius, I hope.
Yeah. Yes. Celsius.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. That's how I like California, because usually, Mariana, where do you see to Estén? Where do you see yourself in the next, let's say, 5 years?
I hope we are going to be like a reference in Mexico where to search about for coffee or coffee machines. Hopefully also international, but focusing in Mexico, where I hope that we as Tueste, as the company, to be like the leader of it, like on top of, where to buy this coffee, great coffees or great machines. And we also, I see myself as a trainer in different areas, like the SEA trainer, because now I'm not yet, but I think that to inspire other people, like they can do it, they can reach their goals, because there are a lot of people that want to do it, but they are not quite sure or they don't have the tools. So we to be like this guide for them.
What's stopping you to becoming a CA trainer?
I think I need to organize my time better. So I come to see you again and to know other schools so I can certificate myself. But I believe it's organizing my time that's been stopping me a little bit. But I will, I promise.
You should do it. I think that you'll be good at it. And I think that being myself an AST it's awesome. And I do teach courses which are not SCA certified, but the Specialty Coffee Association gives that core knowledge, which is a very good building block for everything. And sometimes we get people in a barista class, they already looked at many videos on YouTube and they have all these gimmicks nowadays. And I'm like, toss that knowledge away for a while, just for a while, get the basic blocks and then build on that. Because they always ask, is this a good thing? Should I put another filter onto my basket? And I'm like, first get the basic knowledge and then you decide. I personally never do that. It's an efficiency thing. And when you put another like a round filter on the top of the basket, have you seen that on YouTube? People do that?
I think so, yeah. I've seen that.
I don't do that. My reasoning is twofold. One, I don't want to have another weird things on my coffee, right? And B, I don't see really the benefit of it. If you do correct leveling, damping, you should not have issue to pulling a nice shot. And I teach a lot of people who are starting a coffee shop and you do not want to mess with this in a coffee shop because you have people waiting for you for their morning beverage and you are just going and playing with all these little toys. At home, experiment. I love that. But personally, I'm fine without it. But I never judge if you do use it. I'm just saying that get the basics first. And then build on those.
Yeah, that's a great advice.
That's what SCA curriculum is. And that's why I like to teach it, because it gives this hardcore basic knowledge which you can really build on. So it's that's on chase trends, really, and lets you do that. It gives you this basic knowledge and then you go and chase your trends yourself. So yeah. I think you will enjoy, definitely. And I think that a lot of people will benefit from it in Mexico. So do it.
I will, I promise.
Awesome. Before my last question, which will be the where can people find you, I usually let the guest ask question. Me, do you have a question for me?
I do have a question for you. It's what I would like to know. What do you like the most about working in the coffee industry?
I was lucky enough that you told me this question ahead this morning, so I had little time to think about it, because usually it's usually very hard to answer and maybe I don't give the best answer. But okay, I was wearing different hats in a coffee industry. I was a owner of coffee roasting companies, one in Europe and United States. I was a content creator. I had a YouTube channel in Slovakia, which was very well known. I think in Slovakia, I was the only one who did a YouTube channel for a long time in Slovak language. So especially coffee people know me from YouTube. I was obviously working as a coffee educator for a while now. I was doing other things in the coffee industry. And if I have to unite the things, I love the fact that anytime I give information either to my customers who buy my coffee or my students, I love to blow their minds. And there's so many things unknown to ordinary. People are not in the industry. So it's very easy to blow their minds. And anytime I can see somebody leaving with, whoa, I learned something today, or whoa, I discovered something today, it just made my day. When we started Green Plantation, that was my European company. We started it in 2011. And we were the first specialty coffee company in Slovakia. So we basically, we were the bulldozer. We were the bulldozing the path for specialty coffee roasters in Slovakia. But that also meant that I had all these customers who were like curious and they're like, hey, what is this coffee? I never had anything like this. And that was the best feeling ever. So that's what I like the most about the coffee industry, that like blowing people's mind. Yeah. And maybe it's not industry per se, but why do I like to work in a coffee industry? I would say.
That's a great answer.
Oh, thank you. before we end this podcast, where can people find you?
You can find it on Instagram, like Tueste Café and MX. And I think it's the best way to find us. We're also at our website, which is in Spanish. But you can find us there too. And Instagram has the DM and WhatsApp and everything.
Excellent. So I'll put all those links to the show notes so people can find you. We can also maybe add some emails. So if they are interested in green coffee from you guys, they can contact you.
Yeah, that'd be great. It's also contacto, as contacts, but with an O at the end, @tuestecafe.mx.
And by the way, I don't speak Spanish, but I asked ChatGPT to analyze your website. And it came up with also some information.
That's perfect.
My new friend, ChatGPT, you are correct.
Yeah, it's a great friend. Great tool.
All right. Thank you so much. And I wish you all the best. I hope you get soon better. It was nice talking to you, Mariana. Have a good one.
It was nice talking to you, Valerian. Thank you for the invitation. See you soon.